Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Age is written into the life of things in ways that are distinctly associated with them. The memory of many flowers and plants is pretty short, lasting for many of them less than a year. In the springtime, we look at their green, lush leaves and remember back only a few weeks when they were just shooting up from the ground. By midsummer, when the sun is at its hottest and rains become sparse, we can see the memory of the green that was there in the spring but now quickly fades. In a few months, these plants and memories written into their short existences will be erased from the land. Their memories last a mere season and then are gone. Memories of a tree's life last longer and are written into the age of its rings, the growth of its branches, and the scars on its bark. Most of them will outlive us, whose age is etched into the wrinkles on our skin and other effects of time that appear in and on our bodies. Memories of rivers and lakes are written into shorelines and riverbanks, valleys and hills. Time leaves its mark quickly on animals that live only a few years, like deer or the wolves that hunt them, or longer on animals like elephants or turtles, which live for decades. Yet, none of these compare to the memories of the stones that are in or on the earth. Rocks are formed over thousands of years and often require just as much time to be changed and reformed and transformed into new shapes. Their memories span a thousand lifetimes, transcending generations of those who came before us and those who will come after us. A stone gives us a view beyond ourselves to look back and see the very origins of earth itself. Rocks remember, for they patiently exist while the history of the world is played out all around them. Rocks do not have a will of their own, but are moved by forces acting on them. Stones skip across the lake, not because they desire to walk on water, but because they are thrown. Mountains emerge upwards because plates underground are pressured into one another. Rocks slide off mountainsides because gravity forces them downward. Stones are moved. They do not roll of their own accord. These objects are the patient recipients of the world's memories as they sit around waiting to be moved. It's fascinating to think about how many stories the boulders in our Mission Mountains have listened in on over the centuries. They have watched tribes and families come and go and heard languages from all over the world tell of their beauty. The stones in our mountains passively capture what happens in front and behind them as forces like gravity and time slowly move them from one place to the next. They are like stones all over the world, full of rich stories that remain hidden until the rock is moved. One stone told such a story on the third day of Jesus' death. Like all other stones, its memory of the time, the memory of time and movement stretched back a thousand lifetimes. It dwelt in Judea long before Pontius Pilate, Herod, King David, Moses, or even Abraham, before he ever arrived. The stone had outlived prophets and kings, Israelites and Canaanites, and even the ancient Chaldean and Egyptian empires. The stone had probably even been moved slightly from time to time, here and there, but it mostly remained where it was first formed. It remained there. It was until a dark Friday evening. A man who had been killed was laid in a cave. And his life was so significant that they hired soldiers to make sure that nobody took his body away. But these soldiers were not enough. Though they were strong and watched the entrance to the grave diligently, they also needed this one stone to make sure his body remained in its tomb. A stone was moved to the entrance of the tomb to block anyone, even the guards, from getting to the body. And it worked. That night, the stone witnessed how the body of the man remained, lifeless, dead. Like the stone, the body could no longer move on its own. And there the two remained, the stone at the front of the tomb and the dead man behind. The sun rose the next day, illuminating the ground outside while behind the man's body remained in the dark. The sun moved across the sky throughout the day, but still his body lay there. The sun set and the air in front of the stone became like that of the tomb behind. Dark and cold. Still, the body of the man lay there. Cold, dead, lifeless. But on the third day, things were different. On Sunday, the stone told a different story. No longer was it the guardian of our Messiah's corpse, placed as a barrier between his body and the rest of the world. The stone had been rolled away and now told the story of our Savior being resurrected from the dead. The stone that had previously bore witness to the lifelessness of Jesus' body now confessed to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, that he was alive. He was on the move, headed to Galilee. The stone had been moved by the force of the resurrection, the power of life overcoming death. The stone that had been in the area for thousands of years, observing all that occurred around it, now told these first witnesses of the resurrection that the Son of God was alive once again. Jesus, God's Son incarnate, had truly died, but was now miraculously alive. The one who had brought heaven and earth together when he was born had been reborn out of death itself. The grave could not hold him, nor the stone keep him from living among us once again. The Christ who died on the cross and lay lifeless behind that stone until Sunday had been redeemed from death and was moving out in the world. That stone, a stone which had millions of stories to tell, told us that day the most important one of all. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.